You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
today,
the Vard.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
We got to go to Jesus because his name is wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, not their name. It doesn't matter how many businesses you got. When you die, you can only go through a small corridor. You can't bring a car with you. You can't bring a satellite with you. You can't bring stuff with you. Only you can squeeze through. Nothing on this earth can go through this door. You gotta leave it all behind. So we must make sure we flow with the one who's been on the other side.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Governance and Purpose. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 19.
We found it in chapter 2. He comes to a man's home, and people gather in the man's home. It's not his home. It's another man's home. But people heard him speak. Obviously, there was some type of supersonic power on his words, because all in the neighborhood, people started gathering at this man's home that's not Jesus' home. And they all in the windows, they're in the doors. And you got door blockers and all this other stuff. Get out the way. Then four men take their paralyzed friend up on the roof and take the roof off. But whose house is it? It's another man's house. My point is, when you let God come in your house, it shouldn't look the same. It shouldn't look the same as it was before he got there. Some furniture is going to be rearranged. Some roofs may have to be dismantled, or some nice ornaments that you got put up there. Because when he comes in, he doesn't play. You want your neighbor to come in and respect what you have in order. But if you let God come in, he takes over. He's Lord of all. Of every room, all pantries, all safes, all doors. He takes over. He changes the environment and the atmosphere. Now, I want you to get this, because we got God in a box. But if Jesus really came to your house today, and he stood at your door, and you opened it up, and you looked in his eyes, you're going to do just like this. Whoa. And when he come in, he's not saying, okay, is it okay if I go in the kitchen? That's not how he's going to work. That's what you do. He's going to the very place of need. I came here, I hear one of the children coughing. Where is she? Oh, he's going straight there. I need all of y'all that don't have faith to get out. That's what he's going to say. Well, I'm the mother. Listen. I said, get out. And while he's there alone, he's going to do a work that you couldn't do. Oh, my God. Man, I'm preaching better than you saying it. Are you really ready for Jesus to come to your house? Oh, my God. He don't say, show me the checkbook. He said, give it to me. I want all of it. I want all of the money. It's like the spirit just went out that way. I say he don't ask for the, he don't ask you to, he don't say give me a check. He want the whole check. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Not only does he deal with conflict in this chapter, but he deals with misunderstanding about who his own family is. Some people think it's all about bloodline, but it's not. And you better get your head. When Jesus come in, man, he shifts stuff. And we know we have biological, but remember, the church will never be built on biological alone. Any church that's built on biological alone will not stand the first storm. Once you become a follower of Jesus, you must become shift from biological, which is the base, that's foundation. You got to shift into spiritual. A spiritual stone is what God builds the house of God with, not biological. Please get this. Every biological has the propensity or the ability to become prodigal. That means I'll leave you and I want my own, which is fine. But spiritual will never leave. It is better when you got biological that is spiritual. But if you only got biological, you won't last the first storm. One argument won't speak in 10 years. That's why you got to work with spiritual. And the qualifier for a spiritual stone becoming a part of the house that's built on the chief cornerstone is rejection. Most of us that came to Jesus have been rejected by somebody. Oh, my God. He uses it to qualify you to be a part of the spiritual house. Because if you've ever been rejected, you're not easy to reject others. Oh, my God. If you've been rejected and you reject others, I'm telling you, you didn't learn your lesson and you're in a cycle of blood. You got an issue of blood and there's a trail that's following you and you've never been healed. Thank you, Lord. Guess who tracks you? Predators. They don't even have to know where you are. If you ever bleed in the wilderness, you need to cut your wound or cut your cloth that has the blood and bury it. Do not carry it with you. Because if you look up, you'll see a bear looking at you. They can track the blood. If you're ever in the wilderness and you cut yourself, take the clothes off, stop the bleeding, burn it or bury it and move away from it. The wolf will come to where you buried it and won't track you. But if you wear it, they're going to slow walk you. You'll look up and you'll see an 800-pound grizzly looking at you. That's how it works. You may not know it, but that's how it works in the wild. Demonic activity is the same way. If you don't heal, if you're bleeding, the enemy tracks you. And one of the things that God does with the rejected is heal you from it so you won't do it to others. Glory to God. So the enemy won't track your movements easily. How many of you heard the term hurting people hurt people? Yes, Lord. So he chooses 12. 12 is a number of governance. 12 apostles. Earthly authority is important. Those who rule over us, those who are elected in our nation, are supposed to be elected and put in order to help the society stabilize and to become orderly. That's the purpose of government, to help the country stabilize and to become orderly. If the government is out of order, or if the government wants chaos, we have a problem. Because your job is not just to get people money. I could get you more money. That would be like me only preaching prosperity to you without order. I can get you more money if you follow Jesus. If I sold you that, I can get you more money. You can prosper. You can prosper. You can buy a plane. I'm going to help you with your problems. You don't have to love your kids. Just get more money. If I preach that, you would say something's wrong with me. But even in politics and in governance, leaders can't promise just wealth. We must have order and stability. And I told you at the top of the year, chaos is coming. If you lead with chaos, it's not godly. If I led with chaos, you didn't know what I'm going to do. And it was always uncertainty. And I say whatever come to my mind, you would say something wrong with my leadership. And if a parent does the same thing, if mama just taking her hair this way and she gonna comb it that way and she come up with this, got bright yellow on, and then gonna turn into black and moving this way and that way, and nobody know what door she gonna come in. She may come through the closet. She may come through the garage. She may come through the door. Because I don't know what mama gonna do next. You won't have order. Mama must develop a routine and a structure that others can follow. And daddy can't be up there doing selfies. Lead, man. Well, I'll preach to myself that bit. Because government is all about order, stability. Only God is sovereign. No man is. And when human government exalts itself or themselves above God, in other words, I can do it. I can do it. I got it. We have a problem. You got to depend on God. No government should go beyond its limited function or its legitimate function and become more like sovereign. We just are supposed to establish order and structure. You'll find it in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 33 or 23. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 23 will speak to you about that. Can we read it together? Can you all see it?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. One, two, ready, read. Instead. America is making the same mistake now by embracing the God of resources and prosperity and stock markets. And you're forsaking your God. Don't put your trust, it's right there in the Bible. Don't put your trust in stock markets or promises of wealth. Put your confidence in God. The purpose of government is to create stability and order, bringing us back to a holy God, not trying to be God, but just pointing us to the God of order. Before there was a federal government, write it down, there was self-governance. Before the federal government ever appeared anywhere in the world, there was self-government. You'll see it in the garden. Of every tree you shall eat, except the tree that's in the midst. The day you eat of it, you will start decaying. He gave a man the ability to govern self. Where are you going, Bishop? I'm going somewhere. We're going to get to the 12. I got to show you purpose of the 12. He's trying to show government. The basic unit of government is self-government. Then it moves to what we call family government or father's house. So if you looked at the Hebrews, after self-government, you would see father's house, head of household, father, who is tasked with making sure order is in the house. That's your number one move to protect and to advance or to create order within the house financially, stability. In other words, you're not freaking out all of the time. You're not the one always mad. You're not the one knocking out walls when you don't get your way. Well, I'm quitting. Your job is to make sure family is right. Other than self-government, it's family's family government or father's house or head of household. We missed it because in the African-American community, almost 75% of homes are ran by single females. And there's an imbalance, major imbalance. But I'm talking about order. And if you happen to be a female running your house, then you got the responsibility to make sure it's in order. I didn't create the mess, but we got to fix it. And the way you fix it, you don't sit there and say, anything can go. You have to say, there is order. Oh, my God. Then you do what men do, is to create order. And if you got to burn the candle at both ends, if you got to stay up at night just to pray, if you got to put them to sleep and then you take care of yourself, you got to do what's necessary to keep the order. Glory to God, hallelujah. My Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9, for unto us, verse 6, a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus was coming, and government would be upon his shoulder. Order and structure would be upon his shoulder. He chose 12 apostles. 12 is the number of governance. Glory to God, hallelujah. Your year has 12 months. And God chose 12 apostles to create governance. His name will be called Wonderful. That's why he called them up on the mountainside and had them to come to him, and then he gave them authority. Because their name is not called Wonderful. I'm going to show you their names. His name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, not their names. And what happens a lot of times when in leadership, if we're not called to him first, before we go, or we get it twisted, we want our name. I'm the apostle. I'm the bishop. I'm the daddy. I'm the mama. But really, we're servant leaders. It's his name that's wonderful. His name that is Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. In other words, it will extend beyond the 12. It will go into regions like Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. It will leave Capernaum and go into the uttermost parts of the world. The increase of his government and peace, there is no end. He will reign on David's throne. Man is powerful. And over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. For the time, from that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, the zeal of God, the passion that comes from God will accomplish it. He's not putting that on the passion of apostles. God himself is going to give us passion to get this done. Now let's go into the names of the apostles. This is what blows me away. When he selects government, he doesn't pick perfect people. If I was God, I would have picked people who had it all together. Oh, my God. If I was establishing a government that's going to have justice and liberty and justice for all, I wouldn't pick imperfect people. I would pick people who are almost flawless. They had all the money, all of the insight, all of the wealth, and tell them to gather around me so we can lead these people. But that's not what Jesus does. he goes up and he calls disciples unto himself and chose them to become apostles. And he gave them authority, but he called them unto himself. Come and spend time with me so I can impart something to you. Glory to God. Not you already got it, and you got it, and you got it. And we're going to come together to do what? We got to go to Jesus because his name is wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, not their name. It doesn't matter how many businesses you got. When you die, you can only go through a small corridor. You can't bring a car with you. You can't bring a satellite with you. You can't bring stuff with you. Only you can squeeze through. Nothing on this earth can go through this door. You got to leave it all behind. So we must make sure we flow with the one who's been on the other side. Oh, my God. First one he picks is Simon Peter. His name means stone. The thing is that he has a cracked stone. He chose the cracked stone. When the heat got on, he denied it. But he also changed his name. Glory to God. And he gave him a destiny. You're Peter, an insignificant stone. But upon this rock, that is the revelation. He gave Peter revelation. I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail. So he transferred Peter from stone to the rock. This is what happens when you come to him. He takes your cracked stones and turn it into a rock. Oh, my God. There must be a transformation when you get with Jesus. Number two, actually he's number one, but number two on the list, his brother is Andrew. Peter's brother met Jesus first, and he went and got Peter and brought him to Jesus. And then God chose Peter, who came second, to give leadership. This is going to mess you up because some of us think it's about who came first. And Andrew had to deal with it. He's the one that came to Peter and said, I believe we found him. Found who? The Messiah. And it's Operation Andrew. He went out as an evangelist and brought his brother saying, you need to meet him. And when he met Peter, you don't hear about Andrew no more. He chose Andrew, who was willing to be number two. And the man he brought became number one. Why would you let that one come first and then you make him second? His name means brave. Andrew's name means brave, and you got to be brave to be able to bring somebody to Jesus. And then he prefers them. You're not even selected as one of the three. It's Peter, James, and not an Andrew, but Peter, James, and John. Can you handle it? But he pulls this man into the governance to give leadership to the world. The brave ones don't have to wear it on their chest. It's revealed in how they function. Silently. Thank you, Lord. Number three, James, the son of Zebedee. His name here derives from the name Jacob or supplanter. You mean you chose James, his name means supplanter, just like Jacob. It's just a derivative of Jacob. We know Jacob had to be changed. This man right here, his name derives from Jacob, supplanter. He has a brother named John. His name means gracious. And God takes the two brothers and change their names to Son of Thunder. Supplanter, a brother, his name is Gracious, but when I bring both of you in, both of you work together, but you can see there's a problem with your brother because he's trying to, his name means Jacob, which means I'm always trying to get over, and then you got a brother named Jacob, but Jesus says, I'm going to change both of you to not just biologically work with each other, but I'm calling you sons of thunder. And he's prophetically speaking to their ministry that they will become flaming evangelists. So it's not a fact that y'all were biological brothers, because I can't work with that. But you will become movements in the earth to spread the gospel as flaming angels, sons of thunder. When you go into a region, it's like thunder's there because the power of God is falling.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Governance and Purpose, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Attention high school seniors, apply now for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship and take your first step towards higher education. Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated inspires a passion for aviation through STEM and STEAM programs. Don't miss out. Applications are due by Monday, January 27th and are available at the communication and promotion counter. For questions, contact Elder Toby Hubbard at 321-305-9831. Seize this opportunity for your future.
Are you a single mom feeling overwhelmed and in need of a break? Join Coalition for Better Families on Saturday, December 7th at 10:30 a.m. for a rejuvenating day designed to pamper, inspire, and empower single moms. Limited spots are available, so scan the QR code in the lobby or register online or in the TR app. Oh, and childcare is provided. Register now.
Calling all men. Mark your calendar for Legatist 2025 Men's Advance Reloaded on Friday and Saturday, January 10th and 11th. Take advantage of the combo package and order your t-shirt and polo. You do not want to miss this experience, so save the dates and schedule a reminder, and we will see you at Truth Revealed.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.